The reading is taken from Psalm 46 and can be found on page 570 in the Blue Church Bibles. That's Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
I have a special friend of mine now that I really want you to meet. Her name is Millie, and she is such great fun. She's always up for a laugh, always making me giggle, and she's really funny too. I can't wait for you all to meet her. Millie? Oh, hello, Millie.
Hello.
Hiya, it's good to see you. Now, I've been telling my friends all about you. How are you?
Well, I'm feeling quite sad today. Things feel really sad and bad and broken. I don't know what to do.
Oh, Millie, I'm really sorry. What's happened?
Well, my dad works on computers, and he's really good with computers and very clever. But on Monday, he found out that he's lost his job, and that made him and my mum really sad.
Oh, I'm really sorry, Millie. That is really sad.
Then, yesterday, I was really angry. I got really cross and annoyed at my mum and dad. Mum told me to go to bed, and I really didn't want to. But, so, I shouted at mum and dad. It was really bad.
Oh, dear, Millie. That does sound bad.
And I've been watching the news this week, and there are so many sad things. People have lost their homes. People have lost their family. I couldn't even really watch it because everything seems so broken.
I agree, Millie. It has been a really sad week this week. I'm glad that you're saying and sharing these things. It's good to talk about these things with other people and with God. This is part of the broken world that we live in today. Things are sad, bad, and broken. It can be really hard, and it can make us feel really sad when we see sad things happen, when we're aware of the bad things that we do, and when we see that the world is really broken.
Oh, but it's so hard. Why does the world have to be broken? I just didn't expect life to be like this.
You know, God has a lot to say about our broken world through his words, the Bible, doesn't he, Dave?
He does indeed, Esther. Thanks, Esther. And Millie, do you have a seat? If you've got a Bible, now's the time to turn up page 570, and we're going to think over the course of our service about Psalm 46. So maybe if you can read, however old you are, well worth having 570 open in our Bibles. And we're going to look at some really important words, boys and girls, mums and dads and friends here, about this world we live in. And here's the first thing we're going to see. Today we live in a broken world. Today, we live in a broken world. And I don't know if you saw the news this last week. It's been really sad to see, particularly this earthquake in Turkey and in Syria. 30,000 people nearly, we've been told, have lost their lives. That may well go up much higher. We're told that 6,000 buildings came down, maybe 5-6 million people in the region affected. And it's been really sad to see how broken this world has been. I think it has been amazing. We've seen lots of different rescue acts. I don't know if you saw about the little toddler who was rescued, or even a newborn baby who had just been born who was rescued. Even though the family had died, the baby was rescued. So it's amazing that even in this tragedy, good stuff is happening. But it's really sad, this earthquake. And it's just reminding us we live today in a broken world. But Millie shouldn't have been surprised seeing brokenness in our world. And you know, it was exactly 3 years ago when the coronavirus came in and swept through the world, and we felt really broken in our world. Let me read some words. This is Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. We've just learnt the words off by heart. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. We don't think of the earth giving way or the mountains falling down, but they can do, and sometimes they do, like in an earthquake. And the fact is, boys and girls and grown-ups today, our world, today we live in a broken world. Why is it broken? If we were carrying on reading our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, we would read the following. The whole creation has been groaning right up into the present time. Now, shall we all do a bit of groaning after three? One, two, three. Oh, that's groaning. Creation is groaning, not just you when you're told to do your homework or you when you're told to go to bed, but creation is one, two, three. Oh, it's groaning right up until the present time. It's creaking. There are earthquakes. There are coronaviruses that happen. But it's not just natural disasters like those things. Our passage even talks about human sin that happens in this world. Have a look at this. In Psalm 46, verse 6, it says, nations are in uproar. That means nations are fighting with each other. And you know, it was almost exactly a year ago today when the war began in Ukraine, when the Russian soldiers invaded Ukraine. Nations fight each other. What a broken world we live in today. Now, why do nations fight each other? Well, it's all due to the fact that we have sin in our hearts and in our lives. And we read about the beginning of sin right at the start of the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, where God makes a perfect world for people to live in. But rather than living for God, they turn around, they live for themselves. They live for them, for the world that God has made. They want to worship that. And as a result of that, this is what God said to Adam back in the garden. Cursed is the ground because of you. This world we live in is not the world as it was at the beginning. It's now a cursed world. It's a broken world. And evil happens in the world, like people fighting each other and being unkind to each other. And earthquakes happen in the world. And coronaviruses happen in the world because our world is cursed. It's a broken world that we live in today.
So, Millie, how are you feeling now?
So, the world is broken today, and I just need to live with it. Is that right? Is there nothing to look forward to?
Well, there is definitely something to look forward to. God has made us a wonderful promise of a perfect world one day.
A perfect world?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Is it like when I have loads of sweets and they taste so good, they are perfect and they're going to be really yummy, but then when I eat them, I get tummy ache?
Oh. I know what you mean, but no, it's not like that.
Oh. Or is it like when Mum and Dad tell me we're going on holiday and I'm really looking forward to it and I think it's going to be perfect, but when we get in the car, we argue the whole way?
I'm sure some people have had that before, but no, it's definitely not like that.
Oh. Or is it when I buy some new clothes and they are so lovely and nice and I love wearing them? I think they are perfect. But then I don't fit. They don't fit after a few weeks because I've grown too much.
It's not like that either, no. Oh. It won't be anything like those things. When God tells us that it will be perfect, it really will be. There won't be any disappointment. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, tells us about a perfect world promised one day. We're going to read it together with the help of Dave and me. So if you're on this side, I'd love for you to read the yellow words with me. And if you're on that side, can you read the white words with Dave, please? So, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea.
I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband.
And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.
He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Wow, that sounds great, but I don't think I fully understand.
Yeah, it does sound wonderful, but there is a lot to think about, isn't there, Dave?
Yeah, let's carry on thinking about it. So we have seen so far today we live in a broken world. It's broken with natural disasters, and it's broken because of human sin in our own hearts and our lives. But the second amazing truth we're going to learn today is that one day God promises a perfect world. And he has promised one day a perfect world. Now, Psalm 46 made it clear for us. And in Psalm 46, we saw how the broken and the bad things will one day end. So in Psalm 46, verse 8, we read this. "He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth." That's an amazing promise, isn't it? We don't really have any wars in the UK at the moment. We did many, many years ago. But around the world, many people are fighting. Even around the earthquake, people are stealing things, and it's really, really sad there. And Syria's been in a war for a long time, and Ukraine facing the soldiers from Russia. Really, really bad and sad things going on. But one day, this passage is saying, God will make the wars cease. There'll be no more guns one day, no more bullets one day, no more bombs one day, no more tanks one day. Why do people fight in wars? It's because of their selfishness. It's because instead of living for God, we live for ourselves. We live for this world. And when I don't get what I want, then I fight. And I'm greedy. And I'm proud. Sometimes it's very easy to spot all the wrong things that other people do. But in our hearts, we can be selfish, can't we? And we can lie. And we can be greedy. And we can be rude to people and unkind to those around us. But one day, all wrongdoing will be no more. God will make wars finish. And listen to what it says here. "Be still and know." This is the end of Psalm 46. "That I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth." That says that one day, everyone all over the world will see God and will worship him as the true God. They'll realize he is the great king and he'll be exalted. He'll be lifted up all over the world. And that's the thing with that song we heard before. From every language and tongue and tribe, people will worship Jesus one day. Because one day, God has promised a perfect world. Let's read what Revelation chapter 21 said. We've already read this out before. Let me read you the words again. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, or mourning, or crying, pain." What an amazing day that will be. Perfect world one day. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more mourning. There'll be no more death. God himself will wipe away tears and will never cry again. Don't you long for that day? Boys and girls and mums and dads and friends, we long for that day where there'll be no need to call 999 anymore. No more ambulances. No more hospitals. No more doctors or dentists, not practicing at least, and no more policemen or lawyers or people to put people in prison, no. And it's going to be amazing one day. No more earthquakes, no more mountains falling into the heart of the sea. God will make a perfect world one day. But do you know what the best thing about the perfect world that God is going to make? The best thing about it is that God himself will be there. Is that right? Let me just put that there. God himself will be there. Can you see on the screen it says, they will be his people. He's in the future. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. And will be their God. You know, in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, we're told that God walked in the Garden of Eden with the people. But since they rejected God, they turned away from God to live for themselves. He cast them away from his presence. And we've been far apart from God ever since. But one day, God will be right at the center. And people will worship God. And there'll be no more pain and sadness and brokenness forevermore. What a wonderful day that will be. One day, God has promised a perfect world and invites us to go there one day. I can't wait for that day.
So, Millie, how do you feel now?
Wow, I'm so glad I came today. I feel like I've learned so much and I feel a bit better than I did before I came.
I'm really glad to hear that, Millie. What's helped you?
Well, I've learned today that the world is broken, and we can expect things to happen that show that.
Yes, that's true. And you've experienced a lot of sad things, haven't you?
Yes, but I know that God promises a perfect world one day. That world won't be broken, so there won't be sad things. I can look forward to that.
Yes, isn't that exciting? It's a perfect world that we can look forward to and thank God for.
Yes. But what about now? There's something really great to look forward to, but what can I do while I wait? What can we do while we wait for this perfect world that God promises?
That's a really, really good question, Millie. And God has an amazing answer for us, doesn't he, Dave?
Fantastic, yeah, indeed. Have a seat, Esther. Thanks, Millie. We've been looking through Psalm 46. Time just to grab the Bibles one last time, because we have seen two things so far, but we've got one really amazing thing to finish with. So we've seen so far today, we live in a broken world with natural disasters, sadly earthquakes and coronavirus, and evil in our own hearts, which leads to people fighting and being selfish and greedy and unkind in all sorts of different ways. We've turned our backs on the God who made us to live for ourselves, and our world is broken. But we've also seen that one day God promises a perfect world. A world where there's no more disaster, no more fighting, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. But God, right in the centre, worshipped, loved. We can see him face to face, the Ancient of Days. We can't wait for then. Now, the Bible passage which we've looked at tells us something amazing. And this is the verse that I want us to see. Because our psalm isn't just about the future. Have a look down in verse 7 and verse 11. And when something is really important in the Bible, it gets said twice. And can you look down in verse 7 and verse 11? It says the same thing. Can you see it? Verse 7, verse 11. Let me read it. In fact, why don't we all read it? It's on the screen behind me. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Interesting. Not the Lord Almighty will be with us. The God of Jacob will be our fortress in the future, in this perfect world. But he is our fortress right now. The God of Jacob is with us right now. What does that mean? Well, it means while we wait for this perfect world, God can be our refuge right now. God is with us right now. It's not that God is only there in heaven when we see him face to face. We'll see him face to face then. It'll be amazing. But right now, the God of Jacob is with us. Here's Psalm 46, that verse we sang and tried to memorize. Why not try and memorize verses 1 and 2 when you head home? God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. What a wonderful word that is for us, friends. When we're struggling, when we see things on the TV and we're so scared, and maybe we do things in our own lives or people do things to us that make us really scared and sad, things that are bad, things that are broken, we can see this is a broken world. All of humanity has turned its back on God. We live in a broken world, but one day God is going to make a perfect world. But while we wait, we can see God can be our refuge. And he says, come to me. Find my safety with me. I'll rescue you. I'll help you. I'll be with you. I won't take you away from the pain. I'll draw near to you in the pain. And do you know what? We've said one of Jesus' names is the Ancient of Days. The other amazing name Jesus had is Emmanuel, God with us. The one who came into our world, who lived, who died, who rose again, who promises his spirit for all those who've turned from living for themselves and are trusting in his name. Said, sorry for what I've done. Please live with me. Please be with me. And he says, yes, I will. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You know, it's one thing being sad and being scared. And I'm sure many children and many grown-ups in Syria and Turkey today are sad and are scared as the buildings have been coming down and people are trapped and people are lost. There's one thing being sad and scared. And I can't promise that following Jesus won't mean that you'll never be sad or scared. You may be sad and scared still, boys and girls and grown-ups here today. But if there's one thing being sad and scared, it's another being sad and scared alone. But this passage says God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. So we need not fear when the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. We need not fear. We might be sad. We might be scared. But we're not alone. We can know him as a refuge today. If we turn from living for ourselves, we trust in him, he will come and be with us by his spirit, and he'll never, ever leave us, no matter how hard life gets.